Dr. Ron Getzel. Ron Getzel wears two hats. He's a research professor and director of the Emory University Institute for Health and Productivity Studies and the vice president of consulting and applied research for Truven Health Analytics. Dr. Getzel is responsible for leading innovation research projects for healthcare purchaser, managed care, government, and pharmaceutical clients interested in conducting cutting-edge research focused on the relationship between health and well-being, medical costs, and work-related productivity. He's a nationally recognized and widely published expert in health and productivity management, return on investment, program evaluation, and outcomes research. Dr. Getzel has published well over 100 peer-reviewed articles and book chapters and frequently presents at international business and scientific forums. So welcome, Dr. Getzel.
Thank you. My focus and my career has been looking at corporate health promotion disease prevention programs, also known as wellness programs. They are right now in the news as the new Affordable Care Act provides new opportunities, new incentives for employers to provide these kinds of programs to their workers. If you think about it, in America, 150 million people go to work every day, and it's a laboratory opportunity to leverage health education, health promotion at the workplace. Because people spend a whole lot more time at work than they do in a doctor's office or in health educators' offices. And in fact, 90% of employers in the United States tell you that they have health promotion programs in place, although the most recent research done by the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion says that only about 7% have evidence-based, comprehensive, well-designed health promotion programs. So the trick now is to design these programs so that they can achieve an impact. And when people ask me, how do you go about evaluating these kinds of programs, I tell them you've got to evaluate them at three levels. The structure of the program itself, whether it follows best practices, the process of program delivery, whether there's fidelity, whether there's the appropriate dose, and whether people like the program, whether they're satisfied with the programs. And then, of course, the outcomes, which are health improvement, healthcare utilization impact, and productivity impact. So there's a lot of research going on in all these dimensions. I'm not going to focus on the impact of these programs. I'm going to focus on that middle category called process, which is the extent to which the program is appreciated by the employees of an organization which is investing funds to provide these programs to the employees. So first, disclosure, BMS funded this research. And here's the project team from BMS, Emory University, and Truven Health Analytics that performed the research. Much of the research is focused on outcomes, healthcare utilization, and cost outcomes. Again, I'm going to be focusing on the process of program delivery. First of all, a little bit about the BMS program. BMS has about 11,000 employees. So before 2011, they had company-sponsored health and wellness programs. The usual stuff, screenings, health risk assessments, incentives for health and wellness program participation. Now, with the new Affordable Care Act, companies will be allowed to provide incentives for health outcomes, and the jury is still out as to whether that's a good idea or not. In fact, we're doing a series of evaluations now of companies that are primarily focused on incentives for health outcomes, and we'll be publishing some of those findings in the near future. In January of 2011, they introduced the Living Life Better program with something called Value-Based Benefit Plan Design, or VBID. So there's a health and wellness program offered, enhanced with a VBID option. The VBID is providing lowered or eliminating any of the financial barriers to high-value drugs and services in employees' independence with diabetes and comorbid cardiovascular disease. And then moving forward, we're going to be doing a whole series of studies, including participant and claims analyses. So a little bit of an overview about the program itself, three phases to it. Know your numbers, assess your health, manage your health, and again, added to that is the VBID program. First phase is biometric screening, where all employees are offered annual screens for hemoglobin A1C, blood pressure, cholesterol. They can do it at the work site, at the health stations there, or they can go to their local Quest Diagnostic Labs and get those screens done again all for free. The second part is a health assessment. They actually just switched health assessment vendors. They went to a company called Red Brick in Minnesota. So the employee is guided through this health assessment process, receives feedback, and is then eligible for further follow-up program interventions, including counseling and coaching. And then there's a reward platform where people who manage their health risks through adopting better behaviors, they have tracking tools, they have mobile access to a lot of information, including about their own health journey, consultations, and telephonic counseling. In addition, they earn incentives for participating in the program. Not anything too dramatic, but $25 annual gift card. And then finally, the VBID portion of it, the employee with diabetes has zero copays for prescription drugs for diabetes, related cardiovascular conditions, in-network physician visits, diabetes equipment and supplies, and lab tests. The idea here is that you want to reduce the financial barriers for people seeking these kinds of services. In fact, there is a systematic review of literature being conducted and being published very soon by the Community Guide at the CDC, which will show that these kinds of lower, reduced out-of-pocket costs does have a significant impact on reduction in biometric risks, health risks altogether, and improved health functioning. So the survey part of this is you want to make sure that if you're introducing this program, which obviously has a price tag attached to it, it's expensive for BMS to offer these kinds of services, that the employees, number one, are aware of the program, participate in it, like it, and also report that it's had a positive impact on things that are of interest to the organization, like their health and well-being, but also their morale, their productivity, and their opinions of the employer. So we administered a survey. I just received the results of the third year survey. They do this on an annual basis, which I recommend that employers do this annual survey of a random selection of the population. Go out to them, find out what they think of the program, fine-tune and tweak the program as you go along. Response rate out of this random survey, about 50% of the population. In fact, this go-around, it was even higher. It was about 60% of the population. Again, there's a modest incentive for completing the survey. Here's the various locations that BMS has, and the ratio of male-female, roughly 50-50, about the ratio of the population at BMS. So in terms of answering some of the key questions on the survey, more than half of the respondents indicated they had participated in the program in the past year. So that's not bad. I would say a minimum participation rate is typically 40%. Kind of a standard is around 60%. Best practice is around 80%. In fact, there are some companies out there that do achieve best practice at 80 or even 90%. Now, asking a critical question, do you think this is a good program? Did you like it? Did you appreciate it? And the answer was about two-thirds of the respondents of the survey said they were satisfied with the program. There's always a small fraction. I find this in almost every survey that I conduct. Somewhere around 10% of the population is always unhappy with almost anything that you give them. And you'll find that in almost every population. But you want to at least exceed the 50% mark in terms of satisfaction. And let me just make one more point. On all of these survey questions, one of the things that we make sure is that we have an equal number of negative items as positive items. You often see satisfaction surveys that go, how satisfied are you with the program? And the first choice will be not satisfied, somewhat satisfied, very satisfied, ridiculously satisfied. So there are more satisfaction options than there are the non-satisfaction options. We always want to make sure that there's an equal balance of the positive and negatives. The impact of the program, people reported to us that the program did have a positive impact on their physical health, about half of the population. As you would expect, a certain proportion of the population said it had no effect, and some people, of course, tell you it has a negative effect, which is, again, those 10% or so who are negative about almost everything. But we also ask about morale, productivity, satisfaction with your job, satisfaction with BMS as an employer. In fact, close to 80% of the population agreed with the statement, living life better, enhanced benefits for diabetes program at BMS, show that BMS cares about its employees. And this ought to be one of the important goals of these programs. Certainly risk reduction, health improvement, and cost savings eventually. But you want to make sure that the employees see this as a benefit that has value to them personally and that their employer cares about them. They also, almost 90% agreed with the statement, I appreciate BMS's concern for their employees' health and wellness. Another thing that's being asked about nowadays is what types of incentives work the best. And there's a lot of research going on in this area. A colleague of mine, Kevin Volpe at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, is doing a lot of research on behavioral economic methods of incentives. What gets people to move? What gets people to respond to these options that are available to them, and how to make the healthy choice the easy choice? But in this case, very, very simply, people said, I like getting cash. So 2/3 of the population said, if you pay me, I will participate in the program. I'll take your surveys. I'll go along with it. Now, we do know that that's not enough to get people to change their behavior. The external incentive needs to be internalized, and people need to think that this is a value to me, not just I'm getting paid to do something. In fact, if that's the only reason people will change their behavior, once you stop paying them, they'll stop changing their behavior. So you've got to move that transition from external to internal, but at least getting them into the tent. Coming to the party is cash does work, and reduced premiums on health insurance also works. An important point there is you've got to make it immediate. You can't just do it at the end of the year. They need to feel it in their pocketbooks on a paycheck-by-paycheck basis. Some of the things that really don't have a whole lot of impact down at the bottom here, lottery tickets, rewards while being at work, like free chair massages, things like that. Branded gift items, those things are not as exciting as paying people money. And then finally, BMS is interested in knowing whether this is something that's sustainable. Will people continue to come to the program? Will they continue to want to participate in the program? And here again, about 60% of the population says, yes, I'm interested in continuing to work with you and continue to participate in this program over time. And that's an important variable. In fact, some of the studies that we've done with Vanderbilt University, Johnson & Johnson, Prudential, Dow Chemical, these are long-term programs that last 10, 20 years, and you want to make sure that they are ingrained into the fabric of the organization, not just a flash in the pan and one-time activity. So to conclude, more than half of the 2,200 randomly selected employees responded to the survey. Participation in the program was pretty good. About half of the people participated. 2/3 said they were satisfied with the program. 81% actually also liked the enhanced benefit program, which was specifically directed at people with diabetes and prediabetes. It exerted a positive impact on workers' physical health, had a positive impact on employee engagement, and they felt valued by the company. And again, the reason that we did this survey is to provide a context for all of the other evaluations that are done, looking at health outcomes and cost savings. Thank you.